Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are going to finish, or at least I'm going to finish, my little diatribe that I was expressing last Friday, or in our last, but let's not make it time-bound, our last episode, even though these are kind of time-bound. When you get into marketing, it's definitely a time-bound type of show, because you're talking about very specific events, current events, or what have you, especially in these time-bound shows. Anyway, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that actually provides the solution. And when I say the solution, it's the only solution to change the direction that we are heading. if you want to call it plummeting, okay. I know that there's plenty of people out there that think we are, and we are. We are plummeting into tyranny. And those who are in control are waiting with welcome arms. It's pretty simple, friends. They're waiting for you to basically come to them and say, take care of me. Now, many people that listen to this show aren't those that are looking to go down that path. And many of you are doing what you can. And we acknowledge that. We appreciate the fact that you've got this patriotic, let's just call it marbling in your character. one of the things that I constantly point out is, are you part of the problem or are you part of the solution? Now, if those of you who are patriots really want to become a part of the solution, so I would ask that you go through your email list, you go through your phone calls, you start having some serious phone calls with people and say, you know what? If you would like to understand, you're telling your friends this, your like-minded associates, and say, if you would like to see our liberties preserved, then you need to tune in. You need to at least understand what G.R. Mobley is talking about regarding Republic Review. This is not like anything else that anybody is talking about. There's those... There's those shills for the Convention of States, which is a huge money organization, and they're making good money off of good patriots, and those good patriots truly believe that they are they're on the path of the only what they believe is the only solution, and it's not. As a matter of fact, it's not a solution at all. The Convention of States amending the Constitution, opening up and doing anything to the Constitution, whether it is a balanced budget amendment or whether it is a term limits, it doesn't matter. Those things do not solve the problem. They will not address one whit of unconstitutional tyranny that we are dealing with. It's that simple. So we would ask that you please beg, implore your friends, hey, and as a matter of fact, like I've told you before, and I tell you and I tell you again, all you've got to do is just say, hey, did you listen to this show and talk? In other words, you're questioning. You're asking them what their thoughts were on particular content and so forth. In doing that, that helps stimulate them to go, wow, really? I didn't listen. I'm sorry. And then it will get them to a point where, maybe just to shut you up, they will do what is best and start understanding what the solution is so that they too can get involved. That is what we call our listener drive, and we'd be humbled if you would continue growing the show as far as our listenership, because the more the message gets spread out to others, it helps wake up people to recognize what the heck's going on. Trump's not doing great things. As a matter of fact, what he is doing is all unconstitutional. What he should be doing is he should be appealing to the states to take the measures that they feel best. That way, you may have 40 states or 30-some states that have maybe similar measures, and 10 states or 5, and you know, all these different outliers of different methodologies the state use. And then that way, in a dealing with this coronavirus pandemic or what have you, the federal government has no authority in declaring anything. They, due to the fact that they have allowed the militia to basically languish into obscurity, the only thing that he can do to truly help the states is to tell Congress to fulfill their role, responsibility, and power in funding and equipping the militias of every state. You need to strip away the National Guard. It is unconstitutional. Move those people in the forms that they are within the states into the militia structure. Now, bottom line is, I truly believe that in today's environment, the militia is should not necessarily, the organized militia should not be necessarily a volunteer, or what I mean by a working for free. They're not freemen. They should be, because of the training, they should get compensated for taking off time for training and when they're engaged in militia, you know, exercises, training, and what have you, drills. They need to be reimbursed, just like the National Guard. But we need to restore the concept of the militia. It's very clear that we've got to do that. And I would ask any dark red state, such as Wyoming or South Dakota, that they start demanding the disbanding of the National Guard and require that the federal government, all money that the federal government is doling out, goes into their militia and start standing up your militia. And in doing so, as you do so, you need to start kicking out every federal bureaucracy that is enforcing some unconstitutional federal law. See, this is one, just this is just one side of the solution. We're not even getting into that with Republic Review, but that is something that has to be done parallel to Republic Review in restoring the militia. That's a completely separate effort and separate argument. Republic Review is a process of going through and auditing the Constitution against those powers that are actually to identify the powers that are enumerated, and then calling out and basically going against the powers that the federal government is exercising that they have no enumerated authority to do so. In other words, determining whether they should be disbanded or transitioned and then decommissioned. If the states need to differentiate how each of these different disparate departments, powers, roles, responsibilities, what have you, agencies, offices, going through them and identifying, turn the lights off on that, you know, give them. And again, you have to understand that we need to recognize that these people, and everybody's been duped by nefarious people hundreds of years, or at least over 100 years ago when this all started, and created this unconstitutional direction and course that the federal government has taken. Most of these people, they don't even realize that they've been duped. They don't. There are some people that probably look and they go, you know what? I really don't see this. But because we've been doing this, it's got to be legitimate. No. As a matter of fact, it's an outright violation of the compact. Any exercise power that does not have delegated authority is a direct violation of the compact. So anyway, as you know, we're doing the listener drive. We also have Red State Coffee. We would ask you that if you want to support us, go buy yourself some Red State Coffee. We also want you to keep up with the Red State Talk Radio podcast page on Reclaiming the Republic. That's where you'll hear and see what we're doing, what's coming up. We've got Brent Allen Winters interview. We'll start that tomorrow. It's basically going to go two shows. And Brent is very knowledgeable. He's a lawyer. He's been exposed to a lot of different things. He is I don't want to say a jack of all trades, but he definitely has a lot of skills under his belt. And I think it'll be a good eye-opening conversation. I think you'll start understanding the fact that the lack of understanding of common law has been very problematic. And so this kind of goes back to why education is important, why people need to learn and understand the facts of our government and our society. If you don't understand, then you have no idea why things are happening the way they are. And the framers are very, very good at providing the clarifications as to why these things are important, why this is important, and so forth. So anyway, another interview that we'll be having, we haven't had it yet, but we're going to be talking to Trevor Lawton. And I'm looking forward to that conversation. I haven't talked to him in a year. And I want to find out, you know, what his insights are, how he sees this power grab, this lockstep direction that is happening. And that way we can kind of, you know, garner his insights, because he's probably one of the foremost subject matter experts regarding the infiltration of communism here in America, within our political system, within our religious system. They have gotten, and they've got their nose in almost every tent, and they've practically infiltrated most all the big, I would have to say, if not all, practically all of the big organizations, whether they be conservative, liberal, it doesn't matter. They are involved in trying to control and direct every organization they possibly can, because it's all about control. And if you understand that, then you don't want to leave anything to chance. You get people in, you basically make them, and even if they're not even wise to what you're doing, they're basically doing bad things. And so anyway, we will be right back after these two promos. So please hang on, and I will give you my perspective on the coronavirus. We'll be right back. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so one of the things that I've noticed, and I think one of the things you'll probably recognize, is the communist ideology likes to provide preferential treatment. Now, here's the interesting thing. You will find people that are caught in a theocracy mind model. In other words, there are Christians that want to kind of mandate Christianity, which is the antithesis of what the framers wanted to do. It's one thing to have a competitive mind model regarding religion. In other words, letting the religions kind of stand on their own merit and let people choose for themselves which path the way to go. And that's what Christ wants us to do. But communists, they tend to gravitate towards compulsion, and they use preferential treatment. And so there is no doubt in my mind that the global communist effort has been involved in this whole grooming of communism from the very beginning. If you want to understand who's really at fault for China becoming the cesspool of evil and communism, you have to point to America and the Western societies that have been nurturing it and giving it preferential treatment. Why do you think China is so integral in the economy of the world? Why do you think they're so integral and in this position that they are in today? It is all based on a globalist and, or if you want to just say, communist ideology. Because what we're doing is we're allowing them to become not only competitive, but superior in the competitions of the new technologies and the new ways. I'm telling you, leaders of the countries, why is it, as you've listened to Lionheart, if you've done any research on live organ harvesting, why is it that there's no country, I think only Israel and one other country, I remember Lionheart pointed out that there's really only two countries that kind of have laws against their people of their country going to China for a live organ harvest, for a transplant. And my question is, why is it that even those countries aren't calling China out and saying, how evil are you? You need to cease and desist this practice. So bottom line, what we have been doing as far as the nations of the world, we have been giving China preferential treatment. We turn our back on the evils that they are doing, and we're continuing to do this. Even Trump, if you are a Trump supporter, give me any indication where Trump has gotten on the moral high ground and have called China out for their despicable things that they are doing to their citizens. I mean, you can't tell me all these political prisoners that are merely alive to basically rip their organs out of them to give to somebody else. That is not a civil society. That is the most inhumane treatment of a person, period. And why is it that the United States and the rest of the world is not, you know, deriding them? Why are we not basically calling them out and saying, if you don't change, and as a matter of fact, demand that they change and actually start changing our posture? You know, China is already, they believe they're in a position where, and as a matter of fact, I think that they realize that there is this problem, that they're being perceived in a bad way, and they're trying to kind of do what we'd call political, you know, personal relations, or I should say PR type of work, and trying to, public relations, trying to spin it and trying to make, you know, this projection, like they're going to stop giving us pharmaceuticals, they're going to stop manufacturing our pharmaceuticals and those types of things. And of course, you know, you'll hear all of the news people saying, we got to stop this, we got to stop that. No, we actually have to stop even more than that. But what we have to do is, instead of talking on the terms of what they're not doing for us, what we need to do is take the moral high ground. And as a matter of fact, I've told you the best thing that Trump can do, if Trump really wants to poke China in the eye, All he has to do is just announce to Hong Kong, announce to Taiwan, and announce to every Chinese satellite country that China is pulling, and even calling upon the different provinces. If you want to break away from the Communist Party and become a state of the United States, have a vote. Vote as the geographical body that you are, whatever province, or, you know, Hong Kong, Kowloon, what have you, and let the people decide whether they want to be a part of China or whether they want to become a territory on the path of becoming a state. You want to see China unravel quickly. They don't, at this point in time, have the military capability of projecting force to really wage a war. So what they have to do is they have to use passive-aggressive type of warfare measures, such as biological warfare, cyber warfare, and so forth. And it's not that they won't try to launch little strikes here and there. They will move back into guerrilla type of warfare, even though we know where they're coming from. But those are the types of tactics, and they'll try to make it seem as it comes from a rogue country like North Korea, Iran, or what have you. We actually have, there's no doubt in my mind, we have the high ground, but we've never taken it. We have yet to have a president take the moral high ground. As a matter of fact, how low can I go, Obama? Has literally kowtowed and crawled underneath subjugating America to all of these evil empires, whether that be the theocracies of Islam or whether that be the theocracy of the Communist Party in China, and so forth and so on. So bottom line, we have, and the world has been giving China preferential treatment, turning our backs on what they're doing, the facts of what they are doing. We're turning our backs on it. And we're not saying, hey, that's got to stop. That's got to stop. All these things you're doing must stop. So the whole point of what I was trying, and I was leading into this, like I said in the last episode, hey, we're not in Kansas anymore. You know, it's time to wake up, right? And you need to quickly change your paradigm. You have to understand that we are in an ideological global warfare, and it is a global ideological movement of subjugating all people and all nations. So let me get back to, because I believe I was just beginning to start explaining this social media post. Bottom line, it is not, as I started off this episode with, it is not the general government or the federal government's responsibility, role, or power to protect us health-wise. That is the state's responsibility. So I made a post, and I'm not going to read it word for word, but I made a post that basically said, I can't believe in no states, not one state, has stood up and taken a proactive measure. Instead, what we do and what they have been doing is they've been using the prescribed. Listen, what did they do in China? Well, they basically locked people down. They took the whole Wuhan or whatever that province is, and I'm really bad at pronouncing names. It takes me a long time to figure out how to pronounce it. So even good friends of mine have had to put up with my inability to properly pronounce their name. So forgive me, but the point is that that's exactly what China did, and that's what other countries did. They used draconian measures in ripping away the liberties of their individuals and started asserting that you had to lock down. You shut down businesses, don't go to work, and then they started enforcing draconian measures. I can't believe that a state hasn't looked at, you know what, we need to not just change our paradigm regarding the pandemic. We need to change our paradigm regarding how we look at viruses, because we understand that viruses, it's not like a bacteria. If you've got a bacterial virus, it's not like you're going to have a pandemic from a bacterial virus. It's not as contagious. I mean, you could possibly, you know, cause a lot of harm with a nasty bacteria, but bottom line, viruses are, you know, far more contagious. They're airborne and so forth. That's why we die from the flu every year. I'm not even going to go. They're in the tens of thousands every year. People in America die. Is that even acceptable? Knowing. So we knew that drunk driving killed. It killed lots of people. And so MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, you know, started this huge campaign to make penalties against people who drove drunk very stiff and heavy-handed. Okay, it had a great impact because we have actually saved lives by putting a proactive law out there that says, if you drive drunk, doesn't mean we're, you know, we're using draconian measures that you can't drive drunk. We make it so that, you know, everybody, believe me, the car manufacturers and insurance and a lot of other companies want to sell you a device that nobody can start their car unless it is, you know, unless you've got this breathalyzer to prove that you're not, you know, impaired in any way. And I'm going, well, that's really draconian. That's taking away our liberties of being able to make bad choices. Well, we're at a hard break, but when we come back, I'm going to get back into this because the other question I have for you is, are you really entitled to inflict harm upon another person? So when we come back, we'll get back into this paradigm and how I'm going to run out of time. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
I do not believe that there is one state in the union that does not have preventative types of laws, especially regarding safety. I believe that your state that you live in has a law that says you cannot drive your car with bald tires. In other words, they don't even just say bald tires. You have to have a minimum of this amount of tread for you to safely be able to drive and operate a vehicle on that state's highways. Now, some people say, oh, that's wrong. Actually, no. You got to understand that there are two principal objects of government. And this is what government is supposed to do. Government is supposed to protect lives, and it's supposed to protect your property. It has no business doing the redistribution of wealth. That is not protecting your property. What it is it's stealing your property away from you and distributing to those who have less than you. That is not an object of government. That becomes socialism, which is the road, actually, when you start abolishing the rights of property, then you have basically moved down this path of communist. Now, anyway, in this public post, and it happened to be a Wyoming Facebook page that I made this post on, and I was called a communist. Now, I understand that those who were responding with the emotional side of their personalities and or, you know, that side of their, you know, mind. In other words, they weren't really being cognitive in what they were talking about, nor were they trying to be objective. They were close-minded on what they felt was far more precious and far more important, that all people have pure freedom. Now, I've said this before, pure freedom leads to anarchy. As a society, we have delegated powers. The reason we have government is to govern us, and we delegate to them very specific powers. Almost every state in the union does have general and or enumerated powers regarding the state's health care, regarding state transportation. None of these types of powers were ever delegated to the federal government. And as I have said, and I have highly encouraged, you need to look at your constitution, start identifying what general powers has been delegated and what are the rest of the enumerated powers. In other words, you've got two types of powers, either general or enumerated. Did they give themselves, does your state have general powers over health care, or do they have enumerated powers? In other words, allowing the counties and the people to regulate themselves at, you know, on their own accord. 9 times out of 10, and especially in the last, I would say probably century, 9 times out of 10, states have been beginning to grant themselves with general powers. And so that's why every state has been able to, that has thus far done it, and even Wyoming has done this, they've exercised general emergency powers and started dictating that every business shut down, or at least restaurants and churches and so forth. Now, I want you to understand that states can make powers. They can delegate themselves powers, but they cannot delegate powers to themselves that violate the Constitution. So, what states can do and what they should have done, this goes into this, you know, into that box or into that square that I will say GR is right. Because states do have a right and obligation to protect people, protect your life. And if there is something that could kill somebody else, could cause that level of harm, then the states are obligated to try to come up with a methodology of protecting people from those who can cause harm. You cannot tell me that somebody with the coronavirus or even the flu and possibly even the cold, a highly contagious virus, cold, flu, work with me here, a highly contagious virus is a killer. It can, you know, cold doesn't kill most people. It would have to, you know, it can kill somebody that is susceptible to pneumonia. And the question is, you know, what safeguards should the state have? Because the states have zero. And I'm saying it is not acceptable for the states to have such a passive look at unless they want to use these types of things to create justifications in ripping away your liberties. Let me be very clear. If the solution is always taking everybody's liberty, then that is the best course of action for a government that is jealous of your liberty. If a state is interested in preserving liberty and letting, you know, the majority of the people who are not harmful to be able to do what they can. So states should be passing a law that, and that's why I say I can't believe that this hasn't happened. And the fact of the matter is, I think it took some of these health freedom nuts, and I call them nuts because they're actually arguing that a person should have a right to go out and if you've got the flu because you're a single mother, you don't have any sick leave or what have you, that's another problem altogether. In other words, sick leave and, how do we take care of those who are sick that can't take care of themselves if they can't work? So maybe the state would then have to pass a couple of other laws like, if a person does get sick, they self-quarantine because they abide by the law of the state to say you will either stay home or you will seek medical attention until you're fit enough to get back into the general public. Then, you can get back to work. And so they can pass a law that says an employer, if somebody is abiding by this law, you cannot fire them. And so they would have to, and then it would be required that they actually go see a doctor to confirm that they do have a virus and that they're going to have to let the virus take the course. What we also need to do, because these are other arguments and discussions that have to go with this whole concept that we need to start protecting ourselves from people who are harmful at a point in time. And you are harmful if you actually have, and this is a fact, that if you are in fever, you're coughing, and you are exhibiting the symptoms of a virus, you are more contagious at that point than at any other point. And even afterwards, any medical professional will tell you that even afterwards, when you still just have a hack or what have you, you still have a contagiousness to you, but you're not as contagious at the very beginning. Just like with the coronavirus, you could be affected by somebody that and not know for 2 weeks. It takes a little while for that virus to finally gain its steam and do the damage it's going to do. At least that's what they're speculating at this point. I don't see any empirical data coming. It is all over the place. But the bottom line is we can talk about the flu. You can catch the flu from somebody that's just getting over it. Whether they cough or what have you, they put their germs somewhere where you just touched and then you've touched your face and within a couple of days, voila, you have the flu. Passing a law is only the most humane way of treating our society. If you have current and active symptoms, you can't go bowling. You can't do anything recreational. As a matter of fact, there needs to be when you tattletale on somebody, that basically, when somebody is out potentially causing harm to a very broad group of the community, what employer wants to have somebody come to work because they're needed so badly to inflict their corporation, their business with somebody with a virus? That's why it is in the corporation's and in a business's best interest that you don't get shut down. Listen, I have worked in environments where you can't afford, if you have an operation center and you have one person that comes to work and they're just exhibiting the beginnings of the flu, and next thing you know, all your work shifts are ravaged with the flu and hardly anybody can work, and you can't shut down. You have to you demand that these people work. And it all started because possibly one person came to work. Or, bottom line, it starts because people have the virus that are running around inflicting harm. It hurts my head to think that we think that that's acceptable behavior. It hurts my head to think if you look at how many people die on an annual basis due to the flu, and or the symptoms caused from a flu, whether that be pneumonia or what have you. I just don't, I can't fathom that this is continuing to be acceptable. We're in an enlightened society. We don't need to let out blood anymore when somebody has a fever. We understand the causes, where these things come from, how we get them, how we get sick. So bottom line, I want you to start looking at viruses as the same thing as taking a weapon. And when you talk to somebody, it's like beating them with a bat. And actually, it's assault and battery. When you take germs that can bring that person down to possibly even killing them, then how is that not tantamount to assault and battery? It's biological warfare, and it may be, we may have had the paradigm that this is an innocent perspective. You know, we all get it. We all do it. We're all susceptible. That's not acceptable anymore, my friends. We must take the high ground. We have to take the high ground. And that's why I implore that states at least try to do something. Here's the other thing I want you to think about when we come back, because if the states don't start doing things like that, then the federal government will continue to violate our constitutional rights. We'll be right back after this.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so let's keep this in mind. The one thing I want you to just kind of pin these words in front of you as you listen to these other concepts and these other arguments I'm going to provide you. Is a person entitled, do you have a constitutional right to inflict harm upon another? I want you to keep that in mind, because as we start talking about what do we do about people that are sick, well, obviously they can cause harm. You do not have a constitutional right. As a matter of fact, it's very clear that it is against the law to take away the rights of others, to be healthy, to be able to be productive, and so forth. If you hit them, I mean, whether you kill them, or whether you just knock them out of being able to function, being able to work, you have economically impacted somebody. And so there, you know, along with this law, or along with the states addressing this issue, what they also need to do is they also need to put in economic impacts. Because if you can prove, if somebody came to work and it's witnessed that this person came to work sick, and then next thing you know, everybody went out sick, the person that came to work sick should be responsible. They should be liable for the economic impact that they've had upon the workplace. So you start making this law, then you start creating these associations. Now, all of a sudden, it's the same thing as driving a car with bald tires again, going back to that, and you lose control of your car and you have an accident. What's your liability? You're liable because you were driving with negligence. You were driving a vehicle that had no right to be on the road in the condition it was in. Now, it really kills me and it really upsets me when I try to cross over the mountain passes in the wintertime and there's some idiot that lives down in the lowlands that doesn't have appropriate tires, and there's these, you know, state, you know, signs flashing, these, you know, what do they call those things, warning signs or what have you, with the, you know, the changeable lights so they can change the text or what have you, and they say you must have traction tires and or chains. Appropriate tires and chains for driving on the road. So this dolt goes, or many dolts will leave the lowland. Oh, I want to go skiing. I want to go play in the snow. And they clearly violate the law. They spin out. They have an accident. People get hurt, or maybe they don't get hurt. And the state has to shut down the path, or I should say the pass over the mountains, because they have to pull these dolts off, you know, off of these rocks or what have you. And, oh, well, the insurance pays for it. I believe, and I truly believe, that we should pass a law that insurance companies are no longer entitled if you were considered in gross negligence. In other words, it's gross negligence if you're driving a car with inappropriate safety tires or the inappropriate devices that should be on that car for the conditions of the road. I understand that there may be an emergency or what have you, but shoot, you got to call 911. You have no business affecting and causing harm to others, whether that be economic harm or actually personal harm and the pain and anguish that you're going to put on somebody by making them sick. Now, Judge Napolitano on the 10th Amendment Center wrote an article, and he said that the government does not have the right to actually inflict quarantines. So governments do not have the right to inflict on healthy people, but they can write a law for safety purposes to protect people, because it's within the objects of government of protecting life and property. Governments do have, and at the state level, have created emergency powers for these types of things. However, using draconian measures of taking away our individual liberties and immunities and privileges are unconstitutional. But that doesn't mean that that person that's sick has the same constitutional rights anymore, because now they have the ability to inflict harm. It's the same thing with them running around with a loaded gun and they're just pointing it at people. That is an unsafe condition, and that person needs to be subdued and, you know, taken out of the public so that they can't cause harm. But going after everybody is unconstitutional. Now, Judge Napolitano focused on due process. I truly believe that due process is the least understood legal term. Due process occurs when you have been arrested for committing a crime. Now, do you arrest somebody for committing a crime of going to work sick? No, you don't have to. What you can do is you can fine them, and you can come up with the average cost. And you've heard me rail about this before. I truly believe that our penal system and our fines that we impose upon people, like a drunk driver, I don't believe that every drunk driver should pay the exact same thing. I believe that we should come up with a equitable fining system that says, if you're Bill Gates and you make a few billion dollars a year, or you have that amount of wealth and resources, then you should pay 100% of the amount of wealth as your bond. And if you are a, let's say you're just a plumber, let's say you're a blue worker, a blue collar guy, then the law should state that it should be, you know, you should pay bail on 100% of your annual income or annual worth or both. And so that way you would pay 10% on your annual income. And I know it would be very stiff, you know, especially look at these engineers and doctors. they would have to pay a lot more because they're making a lot more. And my point is that now all of a sudden everybody feels the same load and the same level of consequence to what they have done. You can't tell me that a pro football star, you know, when he actually gets, you know, thrown in jail because he was drunk driving. I remember this happens all the time, and they just write a real quick check and they're out. And then they pay off the court, so they don't, and we have to stop allowing them to bypass the process. You got drunk driving, you can't drive anymore. Now, some of these guys, they drive in multiple states. Well, okay. So, but we need to be able to actually, and these creating solutions for all of these things are not that difficult. But Republic Review is the process of forcing the federal government to comply so that they're no longer in the state's knickers. I'm here to tell you, my friends, that if we allow the federal government the ability to continue to use draconian measures, and now the Department of Justice is actually looking to suspend the habeas corpus and other constitutional rights and privileges and immunities. They have no business doing this, and if the states allow this to happen, then the states, as far as I'm concerned, have blood on their hands. But Napolitano is wrong. This is not about due process. This is about protection. And if the laws were actually out about protecting instead of draconian, then the states wouldn't be violating, because our rights are being violated because we have the right to assemble. We have the right. If you're healthy and not exhibiting viruses, you have the right to assemble, to express your religious expressions and be able to speak what you want to. If you are sick and could inflict harm upon somebody, you those rights are suspended until you're healthy again. It's the same thing. You can't drive that car. It should be suspended. You should self-quarantine that car until you've got tires. You may have to drive it or have it towed to a tire store or change the tires yourself. But bottom line, we all have a responsibility in contributing to public safety. Paradigm shifts to reducing unacceptable exposures to viruses, whether they be known killer viruses or just, you know, bad viruses such as the flu that's going to affect you. Bottom line, we actually have a responsibility. I think as an enlightened society, this is where we need to go. The real problem is that it shouldn't even be the states doing this. If we were a constitutional republic where the states were constitutional republics in kind, then states or counties would then have this level of sovereignty to where if you were LA County, San Diego County, you could pass laws that say if you live in city limits and you are going to be exposed and so forth, then you can start passing even these types of, you know, make it these types of laws for, you know, anybody that's sick, you have to stay home. Now, the state can actually, you know, do this, but I'd rather see this done at the county level first. And see if we can contain, you know, the spreading of viruses at a county level first, because counties are supposed to be where these things are really supposed to be happening. That's why I rail on this all the time. Your counties are sovereigns, and they have zero representation in the House and zero representation because it's the people. The people are the only ones represented. And that makes you feel good. But actually, you have surrendered yourself to a democracy or a more of a democratic form of government. You have to look at your county, and where you reside is special. It's different. You may live on the coastline. You may live in the desert. You may live in the mountains. You may live in the meadows. I don't know where your county is, but it is different from other counties in your state. Significantly different most of the time. And why is it that all counties are treated equal? You could have the richest county could be a mineral county. My point is that we need to start looking at doing everything we can to restoring our Republican form of government, especially using enlightenment in creating laws to actually protect ourselves. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. And we'll be back with Brent Winters tomorrow.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.